Diversity.
You have caused confusion.
Oh, trashiest moron.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another Office Hours. Big story, of course, is the release of many of the Epstein files, not all of them, of course. And I've been trying to think about how to go about this because it's not really my style to tediously go through all of the documents and, you know, react in real time to what's in there. This has actually been done by a number of people. The two best shows that I watched on it, there was one put out by the Lotus Eaters, which had Harry, Carl, and Faraz on it. And I thought there was some pretty, that was a pretty good discussion, I thought. And then Devin Stack has also done his show going through them. So if you want like a blow-by-blow account of like what's actually in there, I would recommend either of those two streams. I tried to watch Jay Dyer's one as well, but it was full of him like singing in shades. So I just turned that off. I don't know what the fuck that is. Yeah, it's been an interesting week, to say the least. I'm going to talk a little bit, like I did in the video yesterday, about some of how the media are covering this. But also, more pivotally, you know, what is it exposed? I mean, I think the big story here is the sheer extent of it. The sheer deference with which international elites treated this Jeffrey Epstein, even like when he was in jail, even long after the point where all of this stuff had come out. He was like a kind of go-to man for, you know, the rich, the powerful, world leaders, all sorts of people implicated in there. And of course, the bigger story is the fact that all of the things that people have said, you know, the fact that he probably works for Mossad, the you know, the ethnic component to it all, absolutely is the loudest thing that comes through the Epstein files. And it's an entrenched part of his thinking. There's a certain word, a derogatory word, goyim, that he uses over and over and over again in there. And of course, none of this reaches it. None of this reaches into the mainstream media, who have reacted by, first of all, putting Prince Andrew front and center, and you know, also Peter Mandelson. Now, I will say the Peter Mandelson story is actually a story. Okay, there's a lot of stories. The Mandelson one is serious because he abused his power while in office. Should probably be investigated by the police, have his title stripped, and go to jail. Right, all of that should happen and probably will happen. So I will talk a bit about the Peter Mandelson story. But the much bigger story is the extent to which the ruling class are compromised by this network that Jeffrey Epstein was a part of. And it's all there. It's the Wonka meme. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. And see, the thing is, there's some things that are in there's some more outlandish things, or there's some things that you could dismiss as hearsay or whatnot. The most compelling part of the Epstein files is the actual emails themselves from Epstein to various different people, the direct communications that he has with people, proving really that many of the things that people have said have turned out to be true. Last week, I wrote an article called Escaping the Slop Right Matrix. It was pretty well timed, that article, wasn't it? It's pretty well timed because it only took a week for these Epstein files to be out. And now the stuff I've been saying for the past year, 2 years, that the entire online right is fake, that many people are compromised, that many people are bought and paid off, that many people are not who you think they are, that many people, when push came to shove, pulled cover for the elite, you know, running defense for the cabal. And later in this show, I will name and shame many of those people. But before we get going, as people are trickling in, because I'm in the mood at the moment, and I have been in the mood for a while, to make absolutely sure that the tie is severed to people who are still coping, to people who still cannot face the truth, to people who are still trying to cling on. Okay. While we are waiting for people to trickle in, I'm going to strap all of you down, Clockwork Orange style, okay? And I'm going to force you to watch the latest MAGA anthem. We can watch it together, okay? And then we're going to talk about the Epstein scene files. Let's all watch it together, shall we? What do our patriots say? I rap for the red, white, and blue. Give it up for the red, white, and blue. What our patriots say?
United we stand, divided we fall. I'ma ride for mine, I'ma stand tall. We going to war right now, let's go.
Gonna war right now, let's go. You dancing it up, you fucking fuckwits. Dancing it up. The whole thing has been exposed at this point. We couldn't have any more receipts. You still gonna call me names and cope? You know, it's funny, when we get to the list of names, to a man, they're people who've had a go at me. To a man, the people running cover for Epstein this week are people who I have publicly fallen out with and blocked. How is it possible, do you think? Because they're all part of a network, like I've been telling you for the past 2 years. Why do you think they attack me? Anyway, let's give it up for the red, white, and blue, guys.
I stick to the script, I live by the code. Watch out for the enemy, they fake and they lie. I find where they stay, I'ma set it on fire. Never back down, keep your head up high. I represent for the stars and the stripes.
Represent for the star and the stripes. Give it up for the red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue, salute to the flag. I'ma go hard till I'm in a body bag. USA, we don't play. If you go against us, we gon' put you in the grave.
Yeah, Trump 47. That's my MAGA, that's my president. Fucking wankers.
Red, white, and blue. I rap for the red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. I rap for the red, white, and blue.
This is you. Every single last one of you cunts that had a go at me in the past week. This is you. This is you. And if you're in the chat, I don't want to fucking see you here. Get out. Don't want anyone crawling back. This is final. You understand what I'm saying?
Let the eagle fly. Real patriots never die.
I got your six when the lights turn black. When the walls close in, watching y'all got your back. I bleed for the red. I cry for the white. I back the blue.
Oh, you just wouldn't understand. Europeans could never. You just never understand, man. Twat.
In the stars and the stripes, in the stars and the stripes,
in the stars and the stripes, in the stars and
the
stripes.
We the people ain't going out without a fight. Fight, fight, fight. I rap for the red, white, and blue. Red, white, and blue. I rap for the red, white, and blue.
I mean, this is what it was all for. McCurtis, Yarvin. Oh, the thing is, man, you don't understand Nick Land. You just don't have the big brain enough to understand the Nick Land. You know, it was all leading to this moment. What an absolute joke. What an absolute joke. We haven't even got to the meat of the Epstein stuff yet. We'll get to it. The thing is, AA, Matt Walsh is so much more of a patriot than you'll ever be. Right? Can you imagine the shit I've had to read this week from you coping fuckwits? This is it. You deserve it. It's not, remember? It's not, I'm not licking the boot. It's my boot, said Tim Pool. This is you.
Last, why my music's so angry? Cause they tell us that we're free, but we ain't free. I love my country, but my government betrayed me. We the people gon' revolt, wait and see. They tell me chill, Uncle Sam gon' hang me. I speak the truth, so you know the devil hate me. He got me drugs, no amount that you can pay me. They're taking me down.
You banging this, Closington? You stupid fuckwit, you banging this with your mates? I'm not gonna forgive or forget any one of you bastards. Not one.
Anyone but the one that's red, white, blue. Wait till I'm black and blue. Back to blue. Crooked cops get a cast of two. If you're a driver, move. We only fly in old glory. And
There's little Captive Dreamer. He's not even American, Captive Dreamer. He's Canadian. There he is, front row, moshing with, what's his girlfriend's name? What's the one with the long hair called? Fucking loving it in the front row, aren't you all? While shilling for Jeffrey Epstein. This is what it's come to. There you go, your new anthem. Golden Age. Now, one of the remarkable things of this, because so much of the so-called dissident online right space is bought, paid off, fake, okay, infiltrated. You know, people who were stupid enough 8-9 years ago to get involved in things that were obviously going to get them in trouble with the law and with the police, right? Imagine being this stupid now, okay? And we can name individuals who were like this. 7, 8, 9 years ago, they were so stupid, they got themselves embroiled with law enforcement. And then at the moment where all this shit is being exposed, at the moment when the Epstein files come out, at the moment when the stock of this group has never been lower, they go, I'm going to go all in on that. I'm going to go all in on that. Like the kid who turns up in school decked out with the sneakers and the yo-yo and the baseball cap back the front the day after everybody else has given up on the yo-yo. That's you. I'm going to shill for them at the moment their stock is at their lowest point. You stupid fuckwit. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, later on, I'm going to name some names. But anyway, because everybody, or most people, there are some people who I'll also talk about. I mentioned the Lotus Eaters gave this good coverage. I mentioned that Devin Stack gave this good coverage. Many other people did not, and we're going to get to that. But because of this, the left now owns this conversation. They own the conversation. Let me show you how they own the conversation.
Epstein was much more powerful than we realized. He could set up a meeting with almost any world leader. He could get almost anyone into the White House. Again, Ehud Barak has trouble getting into the White House. Epstein makes a call. Boom, he's in the White House. Israeli spy stays over at Epstein's house. There's just no question about it. He is definitely intelligence. And in every turn, he's looking to help one country, and it's Israel.
Oh, shut up, Sank. That's just such a brown thing to say. Cringe, man. That's low IQ anti-Semitism, Sank. Oh, he's so brown, man. That's your timeline, that is. That's all your favorite influencers, that is. Actually, Sank is making very good points. Let's see what else Sank has to say.
American media says, shut up. No, Jeffrey Epstein, New York Times has a story about him. He's like a Forrest Gump. He just tripped over the money.
Yeah, that noise that I made just now is the classic spaz noise where you stick your tongue in the bottom of your thing and you do your chin like that. Fucking spaz. Didn't you remember all of that? That's your favorite influencer, that is.
And oh God, golly gee, he just happened to be an savvy investor, and nothing to see here. Don't. Now, DropSite News already showed it. Why wouldn't you try to build on that?
Apparently, it's pronounced "jink" rather than "sank." All right, fair enough.
Why wouldn't you cover that? Is that not an interesting story? That
I think it qualifies. I don't understand. I'm not pretending to understand.
There's Tucker, the one honest man in the entire world. I'm still clinging to my cope, by the way. The one cope I allow myself, that the reason all of this is coming out and the reason that Tucker is allowed to play like this is because he's involved in the absolute deepest state operation to bring down these bastards. That's my one cope. That's my one copium I allow myself, okay? And he's not bringing them down, you know, to like do in Israel forever. He's just going to make the big Z, the big Z, into a little Z. make Israel into a normal country rather than a kind of psychopath Nazi nation or whatever the hell it is, has been recently. That's my one copium I allow myself.
But it's certainly interesting.
It's certainly interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, and by the way.
And it seems significant too.
Yeah. If you're the New York Times or you're Jay Tapper or you're CNN, disprove it. I don't want to believe something that's wrong. So show me, oh no, DropSite News got it wrong. Those emails are wrong. It turns out he was working for Sweden. Okay. Or no one. Fine. But they don't do that. They don't disprove it. They don't prove it. They don't report on it. They never, ever talk about it. That is super weird.
Yeah. And one of the things that they never talk about, right? And this is the British media as well. I mean, they're doing this cope now about actually it's the Russians, that despite all of the stuff in the Epstein files, Epstein's like a Russian agent. That's how they're trying to flip it in the British media. Obviously, that's paper thin and a nonsense. We'll get to possibly why they're engaging in this kind of obvious duplicity in a moment. But if you went by what they discuss in the mainstream media, whether it's the British press or the American press, these things, which are literally the most glaring fact of the Epstein files, right? The top line story is this, what Cenk is talking about, okay? It's just not mentioned. They allied it. Or they try to find, what's the word they use? Goyim, right? To take the fall, like the Prince Andrew or Bill Gates I've seen on the right. Well, it's very noticeable that the fall guys aren't core part of the Epstein network, right? And this is important because if you actually read the files, they drip with contempt. They drip with contempt for the other, as a leftist might say. That's problematic, isn't it? It's problematic. Why is it problematic? Because they're running an international pedophile ring at the highest levels of power. I've seen people try to pass it off and say things like, oh, well, the thing is, the grooming gangs in this country, the Muslim grooming gangs are worse. No, they're not. They're not. Why? Because this involves the very highest levels of power. And it involves people who have infiltrated themselves into the highest levels of office, okay? And they're emailing each other, okay? One of them sitting in the British government, one of them sitting in the American government, one of them sitting in JP Morgan, and they're emailing each other, okay? Highly illegal activity. They're orchestrating actions that involve, you know, doing things for not just geopolitics, but for finance as well. And this is explicit. This is the most explicit part of the emails, if you read them. There's even a line where he says, look, this is how we make our money. Let those other ones live in the real world, me and you and Joe Schmuck and anybody who's not in their group. And it's so deeply entrenched, okay, that there's even bits where, I mean, one of the most embarrassing bits is Elon Musk asked, like, can I come to the party? Jeff, can I come? I want to come to the party. And Epstein, you know, they're like, yeah, no, we're not going to have Musk in. Musk is not considered, like, you know, core crew, not allowed in to the club because he doesn't wear the right hat, basically. It's really, really explicit. That should be the story. That should be the national conversation in America, in this country, and an international conversation as well. I would like to see the BBC and Piers Morgan and Tucker and all these other people stage a real big conversation, a conversation at a national level about the use of this dehumanizing language, the dehumanizing bifurcation, putting one group above another group. This is, you might say, core to what I've called the boomer truth regime in the past, that we are taught that when groups do this, when you dehumanize another group, atrocities occur, bad things happen. In the case of Jeffrey Epstein, he saw people who weren't part of his group as, quote, cattle, to be bought and sold and trafficked and abused and raped. This is the crime. This is the story. Now, why is it the Young Turks who pick up on the story and not your favorite influencer who's dancing to the Hispanic rapper that I played just now. Here's Based Anna Kay.
I think we need to take a step back and look at the bigger picture here, which is what was really going on with Epstein? Because Epstein was more than just a serial pedophile and a pervert. He was an incredibly powerful man who was, by the way, in multiple instances in the files that were just released, talking about his work for Mossad, talking about his work for the Rothschilds. I mean, it just goes on and on. And so can we discuss the blackmail operation that was taking place and which government that's a special ally of the United States put him up to it? And do we really want to be allies with a country that kidnaps young girls for rape just so they can have dirt on American politicians and control our foreign policy? That's the bigger underlying issue here that no one's talking about.
That's a very good point, Anna Kasparian. So why wasn't that the top line from all your favorite influencers then? Right? Why wasn't this like front and center in Jakku's Substack and all these? What did Jakku's choose to do this week? They attacked Morgoth. Right? Do you get it yet? Do you understand what's going on here? When I say the online right is fake, I mean 90% of these people are bought and paid for to make sure that the point that Anna Kasparian was making there is drowned out in a pool of shit and noise and slop and drama and nonsense. Do you get it? No? Still don't get it. So anyway, now let's go through some of the kind of details. I'm not going to pull up emails and things. I'm just going to go from memory, like what are the biggest kind of things? What I mean, there are the things that are like downright sensational and shocking. The trouble with some of those is that they are secondhand testimonies, which does not mean that they're not true. But I think they hit less hard in a way than the ones that are direct conversations with Epstein, you know, within the emails. These are like witness reports and things like that. Now, it just so happens that the things involving Trump himself are from a kind of secondhand witness report. And also, I believe there's one involving George Bush Sr. that I saw. Now, those details, I mean, the George Bush Sr. one is pretty out there, I would say. I mean, it's borderline kind of, you know, satanic rituals and torture and so on. Who knows if that's put in there to try to discredit the whole thing or if it was true. At this point, who bloody knows, right? There's been a lot of stuff that appears to at least exonerate some of the Pizzagate crew, right? One of the great ironies, and we'll get to who's been playing this down later on, is that one of the chief pushers of that back in the day, Alex Jones, he's been soft-pedaling this story. He's been soft-pedaling it, which is the greatest irony, really. Alex Jones, I mean, all his Christmases came at once. And do you remember what I said, like, choosing the wrong time to, I mean, I don't really get that. Alex Jones should be all over this, but he's been, well, he's kind of... He's mentioned them, but he's pushing it in a way that is beneficial to Trump, basically, right? If that makes any sense. But anyway, so there's the George Bush Sr. thing, which I don't know about that one. There's also the one involving Trump, which basically involves an underage girl, 13, 14, forced sexual acts and various things. The thing is that, I mean, I just listened to Devin Stack before I came on here, and Devin Stack's view, and Devin Stack has looked into these things way more extensively than I have. Okay, so when he says something, it does carry some weight because he's put the work in. Okay, his line is, look, Trump is so deep in with them that he's part of the club. He's one of the boys. He's part of the club. Therefore, he didn't need to be blackmailed, right? This wasn't compromat. He was just part of their little crew. He was part of the club. That is Devin Stack's view. And I mean, he has got quite a lot of compelling evidence for that view that you can study in your own time. If you go over to Odyssey and watch some of his back catalogue, or his latest one, you know, that stuff is there. So, and obviously, because this is the Trump admin putting this out, they were never going to release completely unredacted files that were incriminating for Trump. Okay, so let's be real here. But there is that one passage, okay, that people have seized on. But there's a way of explaining that away. Okay, so that's what those are the two presidents who are involved. Who else? I mean, there's a lot of stuff on Bill Gates, and I have to say, the stuff is pretty incriminating. Like, there's a whole PDF. I do you remember, like, Bill and Melinda Gates suddenly got divorced and things like this. That was, I mean, he was pretty deeply involved, according to, I mean, you can search these files yourself, by the way. In fact, I'll put the link in the chat. I mean, there are thousands of these emails, millions of them. But I mean, this is the one about Gates that you can peruse in your own time. I'll just put it in the side chat there. You can read the Gates one yourself. There is also, I mean, the thing is, there's so many people involved. There's the one the British media have seized on after the Prince Andrew, which was the one involving Peter Mandelson. Okay. Now, this is still a massive story, the Peter Mandelson one, even though it is not the story. Okay. And there's a way in which I mean, you can imagine there's so much stuff in these files that each one of them is a front page story. Okay. The reason that this one has taken off is because, I mean, everybody already knows he's already had to step down because of his connection with Epstein. But the reason that it's become a big story now is because during Gordon Brown's time in office, so after Tony Blair left office in 2007, stopped being the prime minister, there was the Gordon Brown ministry. And in 2000, and it was just after the financial crash. And in 2009, while he was the business secretary, so he was actually in the cabinet. Okay. And if you remember, Peter Mandelson had already been through several scandals. I think Blair had to sack Mandelson twice already by that point. And Gordon Brown gave him a peerage, or Blair gave, one of Brown and Blair gave him a peerage, a lordship, right? So he could come back into the Labour cabinet. And I remember it being quite a big deal at the time that Labour would be like, oh, Mandelson's back again. He's not even an MP. They made him a Lord and they brought him back. Just like when the Tories brought back Lord Cameron, as he was then, as the Foreign Secretary. Brown brought Mandelson in as the Business Secretary. And during that time, he was using internal knowledge, right, from the Treasury and from just being in the cabinet. He was in direct contact with Epstein, and he was also in contact with a guy called Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan, right? And if you remember, this Jamie Dimon was one of the first kind of big billionaire elites to back Trump for the current for the 2024 run. Do you remember when I said the regime wanted Trump and all of that? Well, all of these, you know, billionaires switching sides. Jamie Dimon was one of the first ones who switched sides, right, back in 2023-24. So we're talking about this guy. And basically Mandelson was feeding information to Epstein, which then got fed to Dimon, or he was on the email chain or whatever, which then led to Dimon being able to make financial decisions that he would, you know, with knowledge that he wouldn't have been able to get otherwise, right? So essentially, Mandelson was using his position to give tip-offs to his mates. This is highly illegal, this is like treason. It is breaks every parliamentary rule. He has resigned from the Labour Party, but they are taking it pretty seriously. And there are calls for a police investigation, a Met police investigation into Peter Mandelson, and calls for him to testify before Congress in America as well. And frankly, you know, he needs to go to jail. If it's true, Mandelson needs to go to jail. Make no bones about it. But the story is a micro. It's just one tiny little microcosm of the sort of stuff that is routine in the Epstein. That's just one that's being highlighted. There are literally hundreds of them, of these high-ranking people abusing their positions and going to Epstein all the time for advice. And this is the thing that doesn't make a lot of sense. And I watched this interview that was put out by, it was like an interview that Steve Bannon recorded that was leaked. Like they recorded it and then it never got out. And now it's come to light that Bannon had this talk with him. And it's a pretty interesting thing to listen to. There's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of dry financial talk and things like that. But I found it kind of quite interesting because Bannon was trying to get to the bottom of like how the financial system works and things like that. I'm not even sure if Epstein was just BSing or if he genuinely knows or what. I don't know. But one of the questions that Bannon keeps on coming back to is, how does a schmuck like you, his words, how does a schmuck like you get to this sort of position? He's sitting in jail, right? He's sitting in jail. And international leaders and businessmen and people from this bank and this, you know, corporation and that corporation are going to him for advice, for financial advice, for PR advice. You know, one has come out about Emmanuel Macron emailing him for PR advice. Why? What does he know about any of those things? What is anybody's connection? It wasn't just that he was running some, they went to him almost as a kind of Yoda figure or something. It's bizarre. One of the emails that's come to light, you know, they keep on talking about Prince Andrew. Well, Sarah Ferguson, the, you know, former wife of Prince Andrew, sent him an email saying, just marry me when he was in jail. Why? What was the hold that he had over these people? Why was he seen as this kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, like a don, like a kind of central fixed, like sage figure for all of these people? That's not getting into the depravity and the gross kind of sexual acts and the kidnappings and the horrible, deep, you know, the torture and all that sort of stuff that's come out in some of the other things. I think the biggest story is this. What on earth is going on? What and how are so many people embroiled in it? There are some people who come out looking all right, to be honest. Barack Obama, for example, from what I've seen, comes out looking all right. Other people, there are serious question marks. Now, naturally, I had a look to see if old Tony was mentioned, and he is. Tony Blair is mentioned at least twice that I've seen. One is in 2009. They talk about how they're going to use Blair to kind of tie up all the financial network in the Middle East, you know, when he was being the advisor to this country and that country. But then there's a later email where Jeffrey Epstein said Tony's gone weird or Tony's gone strange, and they speculate on about how he's making his money and so on. That's the only Blair stuff that I've seen in there. I should also say that Gordon Brown, who obviously was the Prime Minister when this Mandelson email was sent, is said to be absolutely furious about what's happened, and he wants to he wants a massive investigation into it and to throw the book at Mandelson and all the rest of it. So that's basically what's happening with the kind of British side of the story. But the thing is, the much bigger story the much, much bigger story is Washington and the sheer number of people who are embroiled in it in Washington. We're talking like most of the major financial institutions, the two political parties, and lots of other people as well, CEOs and, you know, billionaires. Like, there are so many people who are implicated. And, you know, in a sane, just a normal society, every single one of them who were in direct email contact with this man should be arrested. And in my view, the question and answer sessions should be broadcast, like when they had Adolf Eichmann on trial in Israel in the 60s, right? They had Adolf Eichmann on trial, and it was broadcast. That's what they should do with every person who's in there. It's not a witch trial. It's like there's a just an obvious cause. Corruption at the highest levels. I mean, Devin Stack was saying, what, you want to vote? How are you going to vote? You know, you want to vote your way out of this. You know, if you arrested all of them, there'd be no government left. It's every single last person who's involved. Maybe that's the case, but we need to, like, this can't be let go, is what I'm saying. It probably will be. It probably will be let go, but really it shouldn't be. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with any of this. And frankly, it is written that they've got 2 years left. 2 years left, remember? 2 years left. It is written. So maybe, you know, it's out there. There needs to be recriminations. Many of these people can't be allowed back into public life or to hold public office again. Mandelson is just the first one. Mandelson's just the tip of the iceberg. There has to be hundreds and hundreds of proper investigations and recriminations and consequences. That's what ought to happen. If we talk about what is, well, it's a corrupt and messed up situation is what it is. Should never have got this far. And you know, when I'm reading this stuff, I've got like the ghost of Carlyle on my shoulder saying, this is what happens when your society devolves into mammonism. I told you this would happen if you let this go unchecked, says the thundering figure of Carlyle on my shoulder. Anyway, let's get to some of the people who have tried to downplay this, shall we? Lots of people have tried to downplay it. In fact, I noticed that Greg Johnson wrote a whole article saying, you know, whose stock has gone up and whose stock has gone down as a result of how they position themselves with regard to this. I would say a pretty emblematic screenshot taken by Greg is this one. This is an individual who I blocked back in 2024. It's 2026 now. This is a guy who called me everything under the sun. Let's have a look. This is Patrick Casey. That's what I was talking about earlier on. The most troubling revelation from the Epstein files is that the left can weaponize a negligible portion of the online right against its own side, says Patrick Casey, to which this apolitical Twitter account says, in the case of a Jewish spy running a paedophile blackmail ring where politicians want to F kids and be blackmailed by Israel, the most troubling part for you is it being weaponized against Trump. You belong in a camp. That is the correct and natural reaction to what Patrick Casey said. Okay, you can't be worried about what these people think. You have to fall out with them and block them, right? He's compromised. He's an agent of the enemy. He's a bad un. He's a wrong un. Can't be trusted. That is the correct position. Oh, but the thing is, if I fall out, I might lose this gig, or I might lose that gig, or I might offend this person, or I might not be invited. I might not be invited to Tim Pool's show. Or no, 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 Oi! No. That's not the way. The way is he is discredited forever and never gets to live it down. That is the correct response. And as I wrote in my article last week, you've got a choice, right? There's a new blue pill on offer. Do you take that blue pill or do you say, fuck no, I'm not taking on a new matrix, a new fucking truth nonsense thing, which he wants you to inhabit. You've got to reject it. You've got the choice. I'm giving you the choice. You are being offered the choice by the world. Now you can stick your head in the sand and not take it, in which case you're dead to me and I want you out of here. Or you can remain on the path of truth. It's right there in front of you right now. And this is a filter. This event is a filter to make explicit the shit I've been saying for the past 2 years. And you either get it or you don't get it. But if you don't get it after this point, I don't want to know you. And you have to have that attitude too. And if you don't have that attitude, I don't want you here. Simple as. So let's go through some of the people who have tried to, it's like a who's who of my enemy list. Also is a who's who of who's been trying to play it down. So not just Patrick Casey, of course, but Captive Dreamer. Up and down, now, not up and down my timeline, because he was blocked a long time ago by me. But, of course, people, because they know that he's got beef with me, have been sending me the screenshots all week. I end up seeing everything, because I've got people sending me stuff from all over the place. Yeah, Captive Dreamer. Well, turns out, funny that, isn't it? Funny. Who else is on the list of is on the list? Well, basically the entire BAP network, right? The entire BAP network. You know, who was the other guy I fell out with? HB0 Lovecraft. Do you remember him? That was the original article I made. What is slop and what is not slop? The cover star, HB0 Lovecraft. What was it Farage said? You laughed at me. Well, you're not laughing now, are you? All of these fuckwits, they revealed themselves. They've been forced to reveal themselves through this story. So nothing else comes of it, right? Because the media are going to do their best to make sure Joe Normie doesn't see this story, right? The Normie is not going to be touched by this. But you watching this and all the people who engage in the online kind of politics space can have a memory. You can remember when the crunch point came. What do I say all the time? Do nothing that helps them. The people who did the opposite of that when the moment came. Okay. Who else was there? Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look at the people who played it. Well, Richard Anania. That doesn't surprise anybody. I was appalled recently, absolutely appalled, when the Distributist, right? And it wasn't the Distributist, to be honest. What was her name? There was an article basically trying to say, right? I wrote this article called Escaping the Slop Right Matrix, talking about all of this. And the move that some of these people made, okay? The move that some of these people made is they tried to tie me in, right? A bow with people like Radfem Hitler and Pedro Gonzalez, and the Hanania was slung in there as well. Hanania. And I did this on Substack. I had to quote tweet that. And I said, I have to object to Hanania being tied with me in any single way. He remains the worst individual in the world. Hanania is an absolute garbage scumbag human being, one of the worst people on the planet. I've been saying that consistently for 2 years. Okay. The fact that Hanania is included in that list or included with me shows that the person writing it doesn't get it, or they do get it and they are purposely obscuring what I'm talking about. because Hanania is absolute scum. So let's carry on. Who else? Who else? I mean, there's no surprise for Hanania. We're going to get on to the Russia angle in a second, because the media have gone with that. And I'm going to talk about what I think is going on there as well. Who else was there? I mean, basically the entire IDW, you know, the intellectual dark web, all of these people, James Lindsay, surprise, surprise. Now, cast your mind back. Who attacked me over and over and over again when he was trying to push the woke right stuff? James Lindsay. Do you remember? And now here's James Lindsay glazing Epstein. Isn't it incredible? Playing it down. Most of the people in that ID, I mean, I saw a tweet from Claire Lehman saying she was bored by it. You know, Megyn Kelly, Ben Shapiro, obviously, Dan Bongo, yeah. I mean, Pam Bondi is meant to be the one actually, is actually meant to be the one investigating this. Good luck with that. Michael Tracy, yeah. I mean, so many of these individuals. You know, there's a lot of people who you would expect better of. Okay. By the same token, I'll say that there are people who have surprised me consistently over the past. I mean, the person I always go to for moving in the other direction who has really surprised me and come good. I mean, there's Marjorie Taylor Greene, of course. There's Matt Gaetz. I always knew Matt Gaetz was our guy. The person who surprised me more than anyone else is Robert Barnes. Right? In my mind, Robert Barnes was a boomer. You know, he was a kind of just the worst sort of constitutional, you know, boomertard, basically. In my mind, he has come absolutely solid. Robert Barnes has become incredibly fearless in his telling of the truth over this. So I'll give props where it's due as well. Okay. Another person I'll mention, right. I'll just give to show that I'm value free. Okay. People who I thought that I'd written off, or I'd say they're engaging in the coke pole behavior, who've actually seen the light and they've come good. Stormy Waters, right. In my mind, he was part of a crew. They used to do the whole, it's the British, you know, it's the European families and all this Tom Luongo bullshit. I saw him put out a tweet saying, look, I went through the Epstein files. It was all Israel and Mossad. It was none of the shit that you guys have talked about for the past 2 years. That was a grift. So in my book, Stormy Waters came good. Okay, whatever copes he used to do in the past, if you see the truth, if you say the truth, I'll give you props for it. So he's another one. Robert Barnes, him, and various other people. You know, I thought Lotus Eaters did a pretty good job of covering the actual details of it. You know, and I've had my disagreements with Carl over his MAGA glazing and his copes and so on. But in general, they gave it a good coverage. Now, one thing that he wasn't going to say on there, due to his ongoing friendship with a certain individual, is that another person who was named in the Epstein files was Tommy Robinson. And he was actually named by Steve Bannon. This is a part of the story that has been pretty interesting. And I have to say, I used to like Steve Bannon quite a lot. I always agreed with a lot of his talking points. I thought he had his heart in the right place. I thought Bannon, if any one of them was going to come good, it might be him. But actually, it's obvious that Bannon is deeply enmeshed in some sort of ongoing dialogue with Jeffrey Epstein. This is deeply troubling because Steve Bannon is Mr. MAGA, right? Steve Bannon is the grassroots. Steve Bannon is the guy, and he seems like he's compromised by this. This is troubling, in my view, very troubling. But anyway, part of that, one of the people that Bannon mentioned was Tommy Robinson. And what's very interesting, I mean, basically they were like, he's cheap at any price, right? Robinson's cheap at any price. And they were kind of like mocking him, calling him the backbone of England. What's troubling to me, okay, I mean, we knew this about Tommy already, right? We knew this about Tommy. It's not a revelation about him. What's troubling to me is that Steve Bannon knows that he's not the backbone of England and knowingly still pushed him on the British right, knowingly pushed him. That, to me, is troubling. Because Steve Bannon is an operator. Steve Bannon is, you know, an organizer. He is the real deal when it comes to politics. And the fact that he was having these sort of candid conversations suggests a lot of what Steve Bannon has done or has done in the past. It has been bad faith in some way. That's troubling. Very troubling indeed. Because it was a kind of strand of copium that Bannon may kind of lead some counterinsurgency against the Zios and things like this. Well, how is he going to do that if he was best, if he was good buddies with Epstein? It's a big problem. It's a very, very big problem. And for me, MAGA was already dead, but this has truly, like, surely well and truly killed it. Because there's so many of them who are so embroiled in it all. Who else was involved in some of the kind of worst apologetics? Now, one of the people who, and I should name some other good people as well, good people to follow, right? Guys who've been true blue. There's a guy called Chris Brunette, who I follow on Twitter. There's a guy called there's a girl called Gen X Girl, extremely solid Twitter account. There's that guy who keeps on posting the interviews. I forget his name now. He's another Chris, I think. He's been extremely solid. Not just now. He was solid all through the stuff with Mark Levin and things like that as well. Yeah, he was good. What's his name, guy? He runs like international. What's the name of that channel that I follow? Can't find it now. I like that account so much that I asked him on for an interview, and he said he doesn't do interviews at the moment. He's just kind of posting Twitter stuff. I need to give the name though, because he's actually very good. It's not Kurt Mills. What's the name of the guy, chat? Do you know what I'm talking about? I want to give him a shout out, but I can't remember his name. Yeah, I mean, David Cleaves is a buddy, right? But I'm thinking of somebody else here. It's do you ring the whole Mark Levin Tucker feud? He was constantly posting stuff from their conferences and things like that. I'll see if I can find out now. Hold on. Give me a moment. Give me a moment. I will tell you what the name of the channel is, because we want to try to, like, you know, if there are bad faith people or compromised individuals or stupid people. Okay, I've got his name. His name is Chris Menahan. Chris Menahan, right? In fact, I'm going to share this account is so vital. I am going to share my screen. This guy here, Chris Menahan, InfoLib News, follows me, which is a mark of quality, of course. Him, he has been tremendous for the past year or so on all things to do with, you know, this topic that we're talking about here. So they're the people who've come out smelling really good. I've just kind of named a lot of the people who've come out bad. Now, there's one individual who I'm sure, I can't see the chat, by the way, but I'm sure people are screaming for me to talk about Fuentes. The thing is that he said earlier on he's going to do a big Epstein show on Friday, and I want to see what he has to explain for himself. I've seen him say a few things this week that suggest that the narrative that has been put out about him loving Epstein and all this stuff not being quite true. I want to see what he has to say for himself before I include him in the list of shame. But there have been many other figures. I mean, I don't think Andrew Tate has come out of this looking that good. I've been watching that. He's had like a beef with Sneeko, of all people, about this. Some of those individuals haven't come out looking good. I want to see what Nick says before I include him in the list. Why? Because he's done so much good stuff in the past, exposing things and putting a spotlight on this. I want to give him a chance, to explain himself, basically. All right. So what else have we got? Okay. And another angle on this has been the Russia angle. And one of the revelations in the Epstein files was that Volodymyr Zelensky, the pinup hero of the Ukrainian cause, was in direct contact with Epstein in 2019, 2020 sort of time, after the Maidan coup, as it's known. He was basically in contact with Epstein, getting advice. And there's a bit in there about Putin saying that Zelensky is an Israeli asset, that Zelensky works for Israel. Now, the media have tried to use some of these details to try to frame it that Epstein was working for the Russians, as opposed to the bombshell, which is that Zelensky was in direct contact with Epstein. And the reason that the media are going so big on the Russian angle, especially in this country, is because, of course, Ukraine has become an existential issue for our government. So, you know, in the middle of this massive scandal, they don't want their top man, Ukraine, their Zelensky, linked to Epstein in the minds of the public. So they're doing a classic flip reverse, a gypsy switch. They're trying to switch it to make it Putin rather than Zelensky, who was Epstein's guy. That is the complete opposite of the truth. There's something about Ukraine that is really dodgy, and this has always been the case. Ukraine is known for its corruption. It has also been known for its involvement in trafficking. And I actually saw this video doing the rounds of Doug McGregor talking about some witness reports from Russian soldiers in Ukraine. Now, I don't know whether to believe this or not, but given the reputation that Ukraine had before, given these details in the Epstein files and the kind of closeness to Zelensky to all of this, and there's more than one link, I think it's something that we should take on board.
At the time, he was also instrumental in pointing the army in the direction of the Kharkov Institute, which was the one facility in Ukraine where there was serious work going on to develop nuclear weapons. Specifically, they were trying to create the equivalent of a suitcase nuclear weapon. The Russian authorities did get to the Institute. They shut it down, but unfortunately, they don't know how much was rescued from destruction and whether or not the Ukrainians got something out of it. Mm. Both of those were very horrific events as far as the Russians are concerned, because they found tangible, concrete evidence that the Ukrainians in these biolabs, with our help and assistance, were trying to develop weapons that were targeted genetically against Russians. Now, how they did this is anybody's guess. I don't know. I mean, genetically, Russians and Ukrainians are not that far apart. There are differences, so that they could do something like that. But how far they got, I have no idea. In addition to which, there were other indications that organs were being harvested in these places from people as young as 6 months, 8 months, and sold on the black market or utilized for experimentation. There are a lot of horrific things that came out of that discovery, but it really shocked the Russians that we and the Ukrainians would do such a thing. And it made this special military operation all that much more.
So, I mean, you can take that or leave it, but I just thought it was kind of a, because this has been another unexpected and interesting angle on the Epstein thing, right? One of the attempts to try to make Epstein more palatable or try to cushion the blow of all of this for the base, for the MAGATARDs, for the online right, etc., has been an attempt to try to make out that Epstein was actually based, right? That Epstein was actually in some way, you know, he was a gamer, you know, that they wanted to make, that there was this one email about his Xbox account being cancelled or something like that. And they were trying to be like, tie that back to Gamergate. He's just an anon at the end of the day, you know. No, elite level international paedophile ring criminal. Evil, right? That is the correct take. Not, oh my God, he's just like me. He's not just like you. As I said in my video, he is not just like you. Okay? He is not just like you. Unless you have world leaders emailing you for random bits of advice, unless you're involved in, you know, blackmail and extortion and torture and rape, right? He's not just like you. Okay? But another strange aspect is that it does appear that he was heavily into what people might call now HBD, human biodiversity, and genetics. Genetics. And where this is interesting is that I had noted before, and I've got another widely cited essay that I wrote, okay, on the IQ question, where I pointed to the data for this stuff being shaky, non-reproducible. Again, heavily attacked over that email, over that article I wrote some time ago. But what was very noticeable to me is that many of those people from the HBD spheres have mysterious funding and kind of are pushed in our spaces. And Epstein personally seems like he was involved in a lot of that sort of, he was just interested in it, pushed its talking points, maybe some money. Okay. Maybe he was involved in trying to get that up and running. And a huge part of his interest is in fact the exact thing I talk about in that article from all those years ago on the IQ of his own group, the verbal IQ, blah, 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 my chess champions and all this bullshit. It was a huge part of his worldview. And he actually used it as the BS, 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 therefore I rule. He used it as the justification to do the things that he did. Very, very interesting to me. And it would be interesting to go back and have a look to see who those people were who attacked that article and to see what they are saying now about this. To see whether they're playing it up or playing it down. Are they playing it up or are they playing it down? Are they playing it up or are they playing it down? I'd be interested. I wonder what Cree knew. He was one of the people who went fucking crazy after I wrote the article. Or she. I can't remember if it was he or she. Cree knew. What's their line on the Epstein stuff then? See, I'm reminded of that speech by Ulysses in Shakespeare's Troilus and Cressida. Untune that string and hark what discord follows. Just pull on that one little string, and it's amazing how much other things become visible to you. And like I said, if you don't get it at this point, I don't want to know you, frankly. I actually don't want to know you. All right, let's have a look then at some super chats and super thanks. We'll do the We'll do the super chats first today, and then we'll do the super thanks. So let's have a look. Jacob Lowe says, in light of the current news, is promo code Mandy going to be making a reappearance? Well, I've thought of that. It seems in bad taste now, doesn't it? It seems in bad taste to do promo code Mandy now. Which is annoying because promo code Mandy, I think, is still the most successful single sale cycle I ever did. Or one of them. One of the most successful ones. You know, it did gangbusters, promo code Mandy. But unfortunately, he is now tainted by, you know, not only by this, but by the kind of criminal shenanigans he got up to when he was in the government as well. And JS says, so far, the two main lines of cope are that it's boring in yesterday's news, no big deal, just some rich guy, or it's all a big Russian op and Putin is pulling all the strings. Yes, absolutely. Those are the two main lines of cope. Coney says, you need to call into LBC and ask why they aren't properly reporting and talking about the fact that Epstein was not an agent, was obviously an agent of Mossad and not Russia. Really drive the knife in and make them squirm. The trouble is, Coney, is that you'd just be cut off, or they just cut you off air. I've listened to enough LBC now to know what they're like. And the fact is, they're not talking about it. The call-in shows, they choose other topics. They just choose other topics. And it's literally like video game addiction. And that they'll talk about any old shit rather than talk about this. The robbery of Richmond, what was Nick Tell It To Your Straight Ferrari talking about when I drove here this morning? Like literally anything else. Anything else. They're doing like a proper old-fashioned kind of burying the lead, as they call it. The Wooster says, did you hear how Epstein was involved in founding and funding parts of the online right, like 4chan's poll board, JF, etc.? I wonder who else is implicated. Well, it's funny you said that, because that's what I was just talking about, wasn't I? I was talking about the overlap in interests between HBD and genetics and IQ and all of these sorts of areas that have been pushed in there, and all of this. So it's, yeah, I did come across that stuff, but it's very interesting, isn't it? Marco says, this is the cringiest slop garbage I've ever seen. Yeah, you're talking about the music video I played at the start. Yeah, absolutely it is. Well, that's it, you see. That's it. So when people have a go at me and say, oh, well, you don't want... Trouble with UAA is you don't want your thing becoming popular. What I would say is, that fucking shit is not my thing. Right? That music video was not somebody doing a cover version of the stuff I talk about. It wasn't a popularization of my talking points. It was garbage. It was slop. It was nonsense designed to trick you to support the scumbags we've been talking about for this entire show. Marcos says, Jay Avila totally vindicated all the effing time. Yeah, tell me about it. The most vindicated man of all time. He's had so many souls at this point. He's resurrected about 15 times. He's had more resurrections than Christopher Lee as Dracula. Moderate Message says, we need death penalties. Liberal democracy failed. Henrich says, Cenk Uygur, a.k.a. Chunky Yogurt. Moderate Message says, we must protect Western values like Putin. Oh, wait. Pood says, my question is, how are the files even allowed to be released? Is there possibly a power faction like the CIA, Tucker, who have finally had enough of their BS? Poods, that's my cope. That is my personal copium. That's what I huff on. You can imagine me. I've got the whole, what do they call the dialysis machine and the little things up my nose, the oxygen tank. That's what I go on. That's my little copium den. that there's a faction who back Tucker, who've had enough. Please let that be the case. Please let it be true. Why do I want that to be the case? Because it suggests that there's some sensible, centered people interested in governance, interested in bringing things back to normality, interested in running things for the benefit of the actual country itself and the people of that country, as opposed to all of these corrupt, perverted demons that we've been talking about for this entire show. Talking Head says, I like a lot of your work, AA, but I've noticed you take the opposite side of any debate from a certain group where even when it is on incongruent. Is your political will solely motivated to undermine them? Do nothing that helps them, Talking Headed. Do nothing that helps them. And if what they want is a trick to divert your attention from them to some other thing, then you need to be cognizant of that at all times, every time. Okay? Step on no rakes, collect no Fell For It Again awards. Stay focused on the thing that matters, not whatever other bullshit. What's the, all the other bullshit? Every other thing, it's a kind of a known stratagem to scapegoat some other thing. Always to turn your head to, oh, look at that. Look at this. Look behind you, a three-headed monkey. Look behind you, a three-headed monkey. I say, don't look at the fucking three-headed monkey. Look at the thing itself. Oh, you're such a contrarian, AA. The real problem to society is the three-headed monkey. No. Stay focused on the thing itself. And if you don't get it now, you'll never get it. Lou Shaw Moffat says, when will you interview Rurik, AA? You are following him on Twitter under Slavland Stalker. When, AA? Well, you ask me that every single day. The trouble is that I've had a look at that account and it kind of looks a bit strange to me. So you're going to have to like sell me on the why as well. Because judging by his actual feed, I'm not seeing like the obvious value in the interview. So I'm just being honest. Fumantari. Talking Headed, do you still not get it? Or are you still going to try to argue with me about the three-headed monkey? You're such a contrarian, AA. Don't you understand that the real problem in this world is the three-headed monkey? No, it's not. It's all this shit that we're talking about here. This is the thing. All the other stuff is attempts by them to get you to not look, to look at anything else, the three-headed monkey. Anyway, what have you done in the cause of stopping El Fattah today? Do you remember? That was the thing everybody denounced me on. The Egyptian activist from December the 30th. I'm now the only person on Twitter talking about him. And that will be, you know, in a year from now, when I'm still doing those posts, I'll still be the only one. He was a three-headed monkey, like all the other ones. Funtamari says, the craziest part of this story is that nothing ever happens. You will be able to count on one hand the arrests have been made from this. Now we have had the pressure valve release. Will this all soon be old news? Well, the thing is, right, I'm old enough to remember when the catchphrase and the mantra from all the people who were playing this down this week was always chimp. What happened to always chimp? What happened to always chimp? Now, if you constantly don't shut up about this, if you constantly never let them forget, if you always chimped, right? If you, every single person did the daily El Fattah tweet, the daily Epstein tweet, if you never let it out of the news cycle until something else is done, then it's possible that you might be able to force action. It will definitely be allowed to fade away if you allow it to fade away. But not allowing it to fade away requires the one thing that the quote-unquote online right can never do, which is to stay focused, which is to not be allowed to be dragged along by the news cycle, which is to set the agenda themselves. But I can guarantee you that that won't happen, because I am assured in article written by disloyal traitor, the Prudentialist, that this is actually the game to react to the latest thing over and over again. Okay, don't think I don't see the subtweets and counter signals to the shit I'm saying, because I see everything. Okay? Because there are people like that there who will never learn, you're right, it will probably fade away. But only if you allow it to. Only if you allow it to. If you're organized, if you have a concerted will and effort, then you can make it. You can make it. You can force the issue. But I suspect that won't happen, because many of these people, as we've talked about, are compromised, working for the GOP, or enmeshed in networks where they're worried about not getting the call to this show or that show. That's how it works. Cringewalker says, over 300 blocks over these files, just not tolerating it anymore. They want to ghost dance into the void. That's on them. Yeah, I mean, 300 blocks, you need to get up to like 3,000, mate. You need to get up to like 5,000. You need to like cut them out like a cancer, like you cut out like a bad organ or something like that. Because the, you know, chances are if they're willing to let this slide, or if they're cool with this, or if they're willing to, then there's no, you know, if there's not a red line over this, that's it. They have no red lines. Christian Troy says, AA, you and Cringewalker keep getting hit hard on Twitter. Keep exposing these rightoids and frauds. Well, I don't see it all because I've got them all blocked, of course. So I don't give a shit. I don't really care. The reason that they hit me is because I tell the truth. I just tell the truth all the time. And keeping a track of who tries to attack me is an extremely good gauge, usually, of who's on the level and who's not. Because those people who have a go at me, probably compromised, as this whole episode proves. Captive Dreamer, Patrick Casey, Need I Go On, down and down the list. Mitternacht says, the faithful say, if only a chapter were revealed. But when a fortnight chapter is revealed, the war is mentioned in it. You see the infirm of heart staring at you as though they are fainting away for fear of death. Yep. Esoteric Elderman says, normies cannot cipher through masses of data. They needed a coherent narrative that gives them a take-home story. Mainstream media and slop right totally failing. Well, they're not failing. They're doing their job. What is their job? Mainstream media's job is to make sure that the true story is not actually revealed. It's to cover it up. And the slop right's job is to do the same, just from the other way. Two parts, two cheeks of the same ass, you might say. Because when I said the online right is almost entirely fake, I meant it. Christian Troy says, AA, J.D. Vance is suddenly very quiet now that Thiel is connected to Epstein. Rightoids still think Vance is our guy. Yeah, well, right. I mean, you're talking about, when you talk about rightoids, you're talking about the, you know, people who are kind of subhumanly thick at this point. People who are so, you know, unwilling to face the truth that they're prepared to buy any old shit. Do you want to see what J.D. Vance actually tweeted out? What did he actually tweet out in response to all of this? Do you remember that video I played at the start? Fantastic lineup for TPUSA halftime show, including the great Bob Ritchie, a.k.a. Kid Rock. There it is, the All-American halftime show. That was how J.D. Vance broke his silence on Twitter. No tweets all weekend, and then, yay, Kid Rock's on the show. And also that guy who did the rap at the start. Brilliant, that's my MAGA, that's my vice president. Max Rock says, could the regime be trying to get Trump out of office via the Epstein files and to get Lance in ahead of the schedule and rehab his image before 2028? Possible, but Thiel is deeply in the Epstein files himself. And that's the biggest backer of Vance, so, you know. $11, so I don't know, really. But if you noticed, Gavin Newsom, who is presumed to be the Democrat, he hasn't gone hard on this either. Gavin Newsom has also not gone hard on it, because it breaks the Democrat kayfabe as well as the GOP thing. And that has been another large part of the story, right? Which is that the kayfabe, left versus right, is all bollocks. Because you've got figures like Noam Chomsky, for example, working hand in glove with capitalists. You've got Steve Bannon, a right winger, working with left wingers, right? You've got behind the scenes, these people are all friends. So when I talk about kayfabe and pro wrestling, okay, and your favorite influencer says, oh, well, the thing is about AA, he's a crank. He takes this analogy too far. They're wrong and I'm right. And the Epstein files show the extent to which I'm right. Why am I right? Superior political analyst and teller of the truth. Because I don't really care about the social relations, unlike some of these other people who are trying to keep a toe in, or I best not upset the MAGA crowd too much. The Epstein files show you've got leftists working with rightists. You've got socialists working with capitalists. You've got, you know, people from all over the spectrum working with each other. And very often, those people have got one thing and one thing alone in common. And I don't need to tell you what that thing is, because in this neck of the woods, everybody's meant to be, what is it? Pattern recognition. Great at noticing things. $11 Cheese says, it's really insidious how they've made this populism so horrendously off-putting that they can throw this file release into the slop stream and try to sweep it all through into the same slop stream trough. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why I've come to a zero tolerance position, right, for people who try to argue against these things I've been saying. This is the point where you have to get off the bus. This is like, there's no half in and half out. You got a choice to make. I don't want to hear it after this. Managerial Elite Toaster says, my question is, why release them at all? They're able to cover up any number of things. Why this? That is a good question. And this is where I cling on to my copium. I mean, it's hard to have that copium include Trump himself, right? But I guess the kind of Q-tard take would include Trump in that. I would not. I think I agree with Devin Stack that he's basically one of them, you know. Bungle Boy says, have you changed your mind on Nick because of this? No, like I said earlier on, I want to hear what he has to say for himself. He says he has a special show coming up on Friday. I want to hear what he has to say. I have been extremely busy, so I have not been able to catch Nick or any of his show. My phone is broken, right? Which means I'm, as you all know, I've got LBC on in the car. That means that I have to listen to stuff either late at night after everybody's gone to bed, right? Or in stolen moments in my working day. So I get to listen to much less stuff. So I haven't, you know, all I've got is, you know, stuff on Twitter to go on. I want to hear what he has to say before I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, given the good stuff he's done in the past. Okay. Never say I'm not fair. Third Man says, it's crazy how down bad Israel is 2 years out from their Selby date. Absolutely. 2 years left. 2 years left. It is written. God wills it. Neon Ifgrave says, the whole Xbox account thing is stupid. Microsoft bans all ex-offenders from that service automatically. Absolutely. It's just a nonsense bit of slop to try to sell it to you. It's disgusting is what it is. Try to use that. You know, just like me. He's not just like you. Gross. To the Chicken says, if this is what we got, imagine what we missed. I mean, the thing is, there's apparently a cache of files that is another like 3 million files that are being held back that may still come out. So Lord knows what's in there. Managerial Elite Toaster says, the fake QAnon play, patriots are not in control. They'll pretend that they are, bring the current Western governments to quote-unquote justice, concurrent to financial collapse, blame them for the previous wrongs. Maybe we'll. I mean, I still don't really see much evidence that any of these people are going to come to justice. One of them sitting in the White House, for God's sake. Marcos said, I mean, it's not just Trump. All of the members of his, like Lutnick and all of these scumbags are in there. Like I said, Devin Stack goes through it all in great detail on his stream. So if you want all of the kind of receipts and so on, he goes through that. I don't want to repeat the same material again. So I just encourage people to go and watch Devin. Marcos says, Russia versus Ukraine. Our lads, Oliver, Mandrill, Charlie, Furious, and AM are totally vindicated. They took all the NAFO flack and held firm. Brave lads. Cringewalker says, it is odd that this comes out after Tucker met Trump. Also that the US hardware going to Iran turned around hours after it. Something happened, but it would be more likely Tucker faction got his hands on the dirt himself. One of the things that I haven't watched yet due to the fact my phone is broken is a video that Tucker put out a couple of days ago called What Did I Discuss with Trump in the White House? Has anybody seen that? What was in that video? That's where I'd like to know. Anybody watched it? Big Driller says, AA, when did you become aware of the influence of a certain group? And what were the events that made you aware? I would say for me, the biggest, how can I put this? I was watching an Atlantic video starring a man called Leon Weisleiter. It's still on YouTube. It's called Should the Jews Leave Europe? Okay, and I've told this story many, many times. I watched that, and, you know, this is the video where Leon Weisleiter, they ask him, you know, what should the last Jewish person do as they leave Europe? And his answer is spit. His answer is spit, okay? Well, I watched that video, and then literally the same week, because I searched for him, he came up in another debate with this obscure little channel debating a French nationalist. And in that video, right, so in the first video, he was very much for his own people, very much a kind of, very ethnocentric, you could say. And then in the second video, when he was debating the French nationalist, he was basically telling her off for not being a liberal, telling her off for not having egalitarian values, for not believing in democracy and all the rest of it. And I was like, my gosh, the two faces, the brass balls on this guy to go from that conversation to that conversation. How come his values are completely different there than they are there? Okay, and that really was the thing. That because before that, I had read a couple of books, I'd read a bit of McDonald and stuff like that, but I always thought, well, yeah, but you know, but then when I saw that, I was like, my gosh, it is like, is he even aware that he's doing it? That's the scary thing. Is he even aware of how hypocritical it is when it comes to these things? I don't know. So that was really the moment where I kind of started to see it. That was many, many years ago now, like a long time ago. And I even put out a video editing it together, which is still on the channel somewhere. And for me, that has remained the thing to do usually is, I mean, a lot of people, you know, have like writings and things like that. You like, you can go that route of reading various different people. What I always think is just read these people in their own words. Read Jeffrey Epstein in his own words, okay, or see what they're saying in their own publications and things like that. And nine times out of ten, it's not hidden. It's in broad daylight. You know, watch the speech by Levin, my Mark Levin, the sheer contempt that he's got, the kind of hatred that he seems to have, or the belief that he seems to have, that, you know, I mean, all of these things are just there in broad daylight. It's not even a case of like, it's just out there. It's almost mainstream at this point. It's so in your face. So, Cringe Walker says, by that I mean, Trump still did evil things to kids, but Zion is no longer the sole shareholder of the dirt. Tucker faction has it too. I mean, one of the thoughts might be that by releasing all the dirt, it removes the leverage. If you think about it, we're going to put it all out there. We can try to reduce it to conspiracy. The media can kind of soft pedal or misdirect or not really cover it. It's all out there. Now what are you going to do about it? That's Gareth Icke's take on the whole thing. And in a way, if it's all out there, how can it be blackmail? It can't be blackmail anymore because it's all out there. So that could be the thinking as well. Crusader says, your anger, their agenda. I cannot unlearn this, AA. Well, I'm good. Keep your lessons. And also remember who refuses to learn. This is the thing. I tell you the thing. I give you the lesson. I give you the truth. And you can watch people either accept and learn the lesson or call me names, get angry, have a go, you know, all the rest of it. At this point, I've come to the point where if you're going to do that, it's a total severance and it has to be lasting and it has to be forever. Because after 10 years of this shit, I've had enough. The receipts are all in now, all of them. All the information is out there. I don't need to make the case anymore. The hockey goalie says, imagine the person who hangs with their intellectual hat on Tim, I am the boot pool, being an authoritative source. This is the worst timeline to be a principal person. It's like I'm living in an asylum. Well, what I hope, what I've always hoped to provide on this channel is a small oasis of sanity, like a little lighthouse. Like a little lighthouse of sanity for people who want to keep some grip, some semblance on actuality. That's what I've always tried to provide here. That's why I say it in my channel intro. Chibbly Wobbly says, where is the Star Wars prequel talk? I've been waiting for a week. Thanks. Well, I've been in touch with old Lucas and Harry, and it turns out the dark forces behind the scenes and Lotus Eaters, possibly compromised by the Epstein files themselves, are suppressing this Star Wars talk. And it's being, last I heard, it'd been put into a vault, into a golden suitcase, and bought by Martin Scorsese. Apparently, it's coming out soon. Right, it's coming out soon, to be honest. Some guy in the chat is saying, adding left to Sensible Center was a terrible idea, AA. No, not really. Not really. The reason I added left to it is to make it abundantly clear in this world of absolute slop that I cannot be associated with the rightoid. Because the right is made up entirely of rightoids at this point. So there has to be something to say, I am not on that side. That's why I've inserted the left there. Also, most of the right is still in love with capitalism, and it has become abundantly clear that there can be no real solutions to the things we want solutions to within the rubric of, you know, my free market and libertarianism and all of that sort of stuff. So I stick with the with inserting the left in there. But I would pay more attention to what I say than getting obsessed over a label. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. What else? What else? What else? AA, is there really any for the West? I guess you see hope. I think the dark forces have won completely. Well, they are more exposed than ever before, I would say. I mean, more exposed than ever before. So there has to be some hope, right? There has to be some hope. This situation can't go on forever. Can't go on forever, can it? So this is why I cling on to my hopium that, you know, Tucker is there. There are still good people. There are still honest people. Cole, 2 years they got. Cole Langan says, did you read The Culture of Critique? And if so, what do you think of it? Seems O'Donnell is vindicated more and more these days. yeah, I did read it. I mean, I've read basically all of the key stuff that you'd imagine. I've come across it all in the past. But like I said, I always find it more interesting, really, to kind of read it all in their own words. That's what the technique I've always gone with. And to be honest, a lot of other people do that as well. So, and the thing is in a way, like once you're aware of it, it's like, okay, I can be aware of it. You can kind of park that for a while. You know, we talk about other things. The way it keeps on coming back and the way it won't go away and the way it's become more and more prominent and in your face has been really interesting to watch play out. Like, it didn't have to go that way, but it has gone that way. Right, despite the fact that you didn't necessarily want to talk about it all the time, it's just gone that way. You know, it is what it is, I suppose. I mean, we don't get to choose our own reality, right? Houghton says, notice a large number of fabrications and exaggerations around this release. Most of my Twitter feed were these. Many people outright ignoring the blackmail angle and the Thiel connection. Well, why do you think that is? Maybe he's paying their wages. Zhang says, hello. Sending support to Big Phil Jagielka. You have got to be the most dedicated, like, that's the most dedicated bit I can remember. Managerial Elite Toaster says, Kid Rock, I am the Bull God, 90s banger, Cult of Ball, acolyte like the rest of them. Look up Anya Wick if you want to know who they worship. Azura says, Newsom won't go hard because he's in another similar network, the Gettys, etc. That's interesting. Helios says, will they only lose power in 2 years or will there be retaliation? I have no idea. I have no idea. I've given up the predictions game, remember? But it is written that they've got 2 years left. I mean, how it goes, only God knows. Managerial Elite Toaster says, the inner circle will sacrifice their puppets. Overvivid says, have you done Adam Curtis Russia yet? I cannot wait. No, we are still deep in Can't Get You Out of My Head. And Utavara says, new data shows AI unemployment is hitting the UK hard. Okay, so there we go. Is there any other super chats? No, there are some super thanks, however, and I will get to those in a moment. Let us hit those super thanks. So here we are. I should mention by the way that the interview era is probably going to come to a close by the end of this month. You know, it may creep into March a little bit, but I'm just going to get the final interview things done in the next couple of weeks, and then we will revert. It was a kind of a experiment by me, and the people who have enjoyed them, I'm glad that you enjoy the interviews. Five ways the media is covering up the Epstein file. This was my video from yesterday. He says, are people implicated really that powerful or confident, or even reckless, that nothing will happen, like with Deuterox? Even the name surface, it doesn't feel like vindication. It feels like watching them slip the lock again and again. If this is what we can see, it's hard not to assume there are more Epsteins out there, unseen and untouched. It's a good point. I mean, really, if the system knows what's good, it's going to have to try to see some repercussions here. What I fear they're going to do is give us a few sacrificial lambs. You know, maybe Mandelson will be a sacrificial lamb. What I think will happen with Mandelson, by the way, is that they're going to use him to strip some of the powers of the Lords, reform the House of Lords, make it easier for the government, the sitting government, to remove lords, right? To strip them of their titles, which is currently very difficult. And then they will ramroad through assisted dying, which the House of Lords has been holding up for a very long time now. That is what I suspect they will do. They will try to use the Mandelson situation to do what previous governments have not been allowed to do with the House of Lords, and then they'll railroad through assisted dying. I just said I wasn't going to make predictions anymore, but you can kind of take that one to the bank, okay? Zafford, a guy earlier, I said that on Twitter, and a guy said, if this happens, I'll resub. Listen, I don't want you. I don't want, if you unsubbed, if you denounced, if you had a go, I don't want you. Never come back. Never show your face here again. Dead to me. Gone. Don't want to know. Zafadok says, this guest is very thought-provoking. This is on Zhang Yu versus Liu Bang, the battle that created modern China. This guest is very thought-provoking. It's hard to understand how common he is in Chinese media. There are so many films and stories, he has somewhat transcended into a figure with almost mythic qualities in the same way as Richard the Lionheart or Alexander the Great. I would go so far as to say that he even has an archetype that for some reason reminds me of a sort of scholar version of Robin Hood that is also common in Chinese media. He's talking about, is it Liu Bang? I think it was Liu Bang, isn't it? Or is it the other one? It's the peasant who defeated the war. He is the one, the guy who founded basically the Han dynasty. Hi, AA. I would love to hear your take on Mike Benz's findings on Epstein. Benz has some great videos on his YouTube channel. Now, the trouble is with Mike Benz is that there are still question marks over him, aren't there? I used to watch him years ago when he was called Frame Games Radio. But then some things came out about Mike Benz that he was kind of working, you know, in service to other people. And so I'm kind of skeptical. I'm kind of wary of Benz for that reason. Maybe he's addressed that at some point. If he has, maybe. I haven't seen it. I will say his videos back in the day when he was Frame Games were absolutely superb. He then said that was part of some de-radicalization program or something. Overvivid says, this is on old video, The Unexpected Soviet Roots of Modern Feminism. He says, ever since 2020, I finally realized how messed up our country and world has become. I've heard many people and many supposed reasons for why things have developed to the point they are now. there's always someone who says take away women's rights, and they are correct. However, the framing of the solution does not invite women to join forces to accomplish this. It automatically alienates and isolates them. Watching this video has helped me to be convinced that the solution to make the current ruling class in any country the majority is so that the organized minority can break all barriers, re-establish control, and then fix the problem with the economy and the women. It's very hard to convince some men that this is the solution, especially when those men have made decisions in the real world to take themselves away from women, and rightfully so. It would be so nice if there was a better way to get these men to understand the concept of a top-down regime, and how trying to become the majority is always a losing strategy. Thanks. Cheers. I would also say that the blame women angle is another three-headed monkey. It's another attack vector that is used as a distraction, in my view. Which is not to say there aren't problems with that there aren't some legitimate critiques in there, but it's very noticeable who pushes that line of attack as well. Let's not forget that if, you know, the strategy is divide and conquer. So if you turn in men against women, they're fighting each other, and they're more easily divided and conquered, if you want to put it that way. Captain Bogroll says, to quote the notorious FAT, you have caused more confusion and more delay. That is on the Deepest Lore 26 Thomas the Tank Engine deep dive, a legendary stream in the annals. Blackudar says, this is on René Guénon versus America from yesterday. My guest there was Walrus. He says, if you look into top Islamic scholars, lawyers and philosophers throughout history, the majority are Sufis. It seems to me that Sufism is pretty much a copy of Jewish mysticism. In both traditions, one seeks to become God, hearkening back to the serpent's deceit in the Garden of Eden. Five ways the media is covering up the Epstein files. Kensel Kutcher says, top marks. Boy, did that need to be said. I looked for key points on the latest release too, and just got the Andrew Carpet picture. Well, thank you very much, Kensel Kutcher. On the current state of Trump, MAGA, and ICE, this was Rebecca's first appearance of her three little kind of interviews I did with her. Fletcher said, could you publish the uncensored version on AA Undercover? I'm afraid I cannot publish the uncensored version because I had to recreate that whole thing from from local recordings, and the local recordings are absolutely massive. They're like 10 gigabytes each, and there is no version that doesn't have the bleeps on it that is all together, right? And it took me hours to do that, so I can't be bothered to do it all again. Tim Cornish says, this series is so nourishing. This is on Deepest Lore 218, Revering Adam Curtis 67, The Emergence of NGOs in the Complex in the 1970s. Tim Cornish says, this series is so nourishing. The panels, both permanent and guests, are second to none. What it has taught me is to subscribe to the ideology of me and mine and not to follow the herd. And Simon Roberts has come in and said, nice words, always nice to see kind words from an OG. This herd can get out, Tim Cornish. That was nice. Ra 784. This was on the Take Seller Market Nobody Talks About, the appearance of Brazilian Thought. He has got a couple more videos coming, actually. I think he's got two more. I think he's got one more tonight. Like, he's got one on the trans question, and he's got one on dishonest tactics that the slop right use against people like me and him and various other people to sneakily push neocon talking points. Both of those are very good interviews. But anyway, he says, grab a coffee on me, eh? Well, thank you very much. On the Battle of Creating Modern China, Kensel Kancher has said thanks. A noble Englishman says, hi, AA. This is on your smartphone. It's destroying your ability to think. He says, a very interesting discussion. The statement regarding creating a superpower, if social media got banned, got me thinking. There's no doubt that this is being done for nefarious reasons. For example, digital ID. Do you think it's possible that Blair or someone close to him at the TBI have started thinking along these lines regarding the next generation? We all know Blair thinks 10 to 15 years ahead. I wonder if he's done enough public speaking events to realize that social media smartphones are aggressing the minds of the next generation. I know he's always been against smartphones. I know that. So it's not out of the question. And the banning of the under 16s from social media is being normalized as a talking point right now. On the short, civilizations are like organisms. Anti-slop dingism says, hello, AA. Is it possible for visions of linear history and cyclical history to coexist? Civilizational cycles seemingly pertain to particular society or nation, while notions of linear development typically refer to the totality. For example, the global development of capitalism. The Chinese went down in the 1800s and we British came up. We are now going down and the Chinese are coming up. But the rapacious movement of modernity as a whole continues. Althusser termed this uneven and combined development, a kind of structural combination of the disparate cycles of particular societies fused by the universalizing forces of modernity and the world market. Yes, the answer is yes, basically, Dengism. And it was done first by Augustine, as I discuss in my book, The Prophets of Doom. In the introduction, I explain how in the Middle Ages, after Augustine, they had this linear version of history, because obviously Christian history is linear, moving towards Armageddon and the Second Coming, okay? But until you get there, history is, you can imagine, that's the overall shape of it. But then until you get there, history is cyclical. So they had the cycles within the overall framework of linear Christian history. I discuss all that in the intro to Prophets of Doom. Hansel says, AA, regarding your comment of having to have a degree in a weird Middle Eastern theology to understand politics, I think that's from last week now. I think I did that one last week. Yes, we're up to date. We are up to date. I feel like my voice is going. I was a bit excitable at the start of this stream. There's a couple more super chats. Real Master Green Eye says, of what use is them being exposed if populism is a delusion and the right is in such a state, meaning there's no counter-elite to take advantage? Well, I think waking up to this fact in and of itself would be a start. Because you're never going to get the right solution if you don't see what reality is in the first place. Okay? Lots of people believe you can make a deal with these people, that you can have fair kind of, quid pro quo arrangement or some bullshit like this. You can't. You can't. That's the lesson. You have to start there, knowing that. And there it is. And I think that is the last super chat. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. This was all about the Epstein files, and I'll see you all soon. Bye.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.